Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, going back to our conversation earlier in the show about Adam Peters' anniversary. Today, 1 year. Mark, we asked what the most underappreciated move. Harry sends a message on X, at WrestleMania621, at Nell_BTP. Matt's at Mr. Me, Mr. Me93. He said, and again, this is from Harry. He said, I agree with Dan Quinn being the most underrated move by AP, but I think the player that has made the most difference, not JD division, is Frankie Louvu. And yes, I think Frankie Louvu has been, I mean, listen, he's not great in coverage. I think we all understand that. And boy, I just have visions of nightmares of him trying in the flat and on swing routes and on wheel routes trying to cover Jahmyr Gibbs on Saturday night.
They shouldn't have him matched up with Jahmyr Gibbs.
Well, I mean, you want Bobby Wagner in coverage? Or, I mean, is that just Jeremy? I guess if you're a playing man, you say Jeremy Chinn or Quan Martin, that's your guy, right?
I think the same thing you think. I don't think it'll happen, though. There's no way.
What?
They've done a good job of not getting their guys matched up in bad spots. Like we saw
New Orleans. But who is going to be the guy? So
we saw it in New Orleans. It was Louvu, right? It was Louvu matching up Kamara.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often.
Yeah, Louvu got beat on that trick play. Now, it was a trick play, but...
For sure, but my thing is, it doesn't happen enough. I think they do a great job of that.
Do you think... if there was one guy that you would assign, say, like, hey, if Jahmyr Gibbs comes out of the backfield, right, which he's going to, wheel routes, flats, check downs, whatever. If he leaks out, who's the guy that you're assigning that's got Jahmyr Gibbs? Because I think that's the number one thing you have to control. You're not going to shut it down, control. You just can't have him turn a screen into a 60-yard gain and run. Who's the one guy?
I'm going to be technical here. On a screen, it's not even about whose man it is. Everyone's got to fly to the ball. That's the difference on a screen. Doesn't matter who his man is. This man's not the only guy responsible for bringing him down.
Fair.
You're asking me who they're going to put on him in coverage when he is lined up where?
What if it's not a screen? What if it's a wheel route? Which is different than a screen. What if it's a wheel route and he lines up, you know, just normally in the backfield?
Then someone's got him.
Who is my question?
Whoever your linebacker is, or maybe you're taking a linebacker off and bringing on an extra defensive back.
Like, what I'm asking you is, who would you trust?
None of them.
In that spot? Who do you think has the best shot? Is it Chinn? Is it Martin? Is it Louvu? Is it Wagner because he's so smart? I don't think it's Louvu or Wagner. I think it's Chinn or Martin.
Yeah, but you can't afford to take one of your safeties out of zone and put him in man. That's not how they play defense. They play a lot of too high stuff.
Right.
Meaning the safeties don't have a man-to-man-to-man coverage. They're not playing man in those. Like, the safeties aren't manned up in those situations.
No,
it's going to end up being a linebacker.
Okay. But then...
I get what you're saying. You're worried about who's matched up against him. I got you.
And see, here's the thing. If you're playing
none
zone, right, there's going to be holes in that zone that Detroit and Ben Johnson are going to exploit, is my point. And usually, right, where if you're playing zone, is there not usually a window along the sideline, outside the hashes, right?
Yes.
Between the corners and the safeties.
For sure.
And where the linebackers, you know, especially, again, if you have to, you know, if you have to commit, if you line up, you know, three down defensive linemen with two guys standing up, right, and you say you pressure five, well, that means you're probably going to have, two linebackers on the field, Luvu and Wagner. And I guess my point is, in those areas along near the sideline, say outside the hashes, left and right, 10-ish yards north of the line of scrimmage, and you see Jahmyr Gibbs not leak out, run out on a wheel route or run out to get into space, whatever the route is. Maybe it's a square out or, you know, a square in, whatever. Like, what do you do? Like, you to just say, well, we'll play zone. Okay, maybe you could do that, but I don't know if you can do that 10, 12 times.
I think they got to get pressure. You know who played really well Sunday? John Allen and Deron Payne.
Yes.
If they can get interior pressure, it's going to be hard for him to get the ball to anybody.
Yeah.
So that to me is...
But pressure doesn't alone erase everything. It helps, but it doesn't alone erase anything. I agree with you that if Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne, now I don't know how effective Deron Payne is going to be using his hands when he's got a broken thumb.
The club is a weapon, first of all. Like, you should be...
It could be.
I've had to club up before. It's harder to play the run, I guess, as far as grabbing. But in terms of, like, your pass rush moves, boy, hit people with that damn thing. It's a weapon. Use it. Literally. It hurts getting hit in your wrist.
Yeah.
With a club hurts.
Okay.
So use it. I don't worry about it too much.
Okay.
I think he'll be effective. But
so you think the answer to basically, and I don't disagree with you. I mean, obviously you want to get pressure on Jared Goff. Now,
honest,
I don't know how you do that against that
line. I'm not a defensive coordinator. I don't have the answer.
That's a really good offensive line, right? That's a really good offensive line. Zeitler's a little bit banged up, but Ragnow's really good.
Great group.
The left guard is, God, why am I thinking, forgetting his name? Either way, I mean, obviously, Penei Sewell on the right side. I don't know how they're going to generate enough pressure consistently in this game to really affect Jared Goff. So I think this is going to be more about, and the reason why
it's
I was going here, man. More about coverage and more about limiting explosives. Meaning, if Jahmyr Gibbs leaks out, runs out, whatever, wheel route, whatever, can you keep that to an 8-yard gain, a 9-yard gain, whatever it might be, as opposed to turning something that's a screen or a check down or a wheel from a 10-yard gain into a 40-yard gain? Because that's where this game gets lost for me.
Yeah.
That's where this game gets lost for me. And I just don't know the answer.
Yeah, you can't give up the explosives.
That's fair.
The pressure thing is big, though, because I think you're going to have to rush four a lot. You're not going to be able to be afforded to blitz.
I would agree with that.
You need the most guys in coverage as possible. Make him make, when I say him, Jared Goff, make him make tight window throws.
I would agree with that.
And I think the advantage or the area where you could be most effective is on the interior rush, because I think your edge rusher is going to kind of be neutralized. Penei Sewell's
Probably not having much success.
Taylor
there.
Decker is going to swallow Dante Fowler. But let me not even say that, though. Fowler drew a holding penalty on Tristan Wirfs on a pass rush on Sunday. So I don't want to completely exit them out. But John and Deron have the advantage on, not have the advantage, but that is where things are most even up front, because they are two big money defensive tackles that have really high ceilings in terms of how, when they're playing at their best, they're two of the best in football.
You know what I would do in this game real quickly, just from a schematic standpoint, and we saw a little bit of it, of course, on Sunday night, we've seen throughout the year, is behind John and Deron, I would be trying to twist, blitz,
running games,
Bobby Wagner,
communication.
Yeah, I mean, because Wagner and Luvu excel in that area. I mean, I think Wagner, for a guy that, you know, is not considered to be fast or whatever, great in coverage, fine. Right, you don't want him in coverage against Jahmyr Gibbs. Coming downhill, not only stopping the run and trying to attack the line of scrimmage, but also getting after Jared Goff. And again, Frank Ragnow is a really, really, really good center. I mean, not perfect, right? Not like, if you scheme it up right, if you design it up right, if you hit it right, if you time it right. And we saw Bobby Wagner on the first, like, people don't give the Commanders defense any credit at all for some unbeknownst reason on Sunday night. I don't know why.
What do you mean?
They're not. There's just people are just dismissing it. The Buccaneers not crapped yet. In their pants. The defense DVOA didn't do anything.
No one cares. All anyone stuff. Watches. I mean, Bobby, the way that the front seven played against the run is why they won that game.
Yeah, I would agree.
And then the coverage was super sticky on the back end.
I would agree. So. All right, you know what? Let's go to your guy.
Athens and Apple?
Yes, absolutely. You tried to hold him off as long as you possibly could.
No.
Because you don't like when he tells the truth. Which I like when he tells the truth, and when he picks on you. Hello, Athens.
I think he is the biggest roosterette that exists. So
of course he's a roosterette because he knows where the sun shines.
And all that, and he's sending me Angel Reese panties to send to her. And
you just get mad about... I'm not mad. Anyway, go ahead, Athan. How are you?
It's only been an hour and 47 minutes, but hey, it's okay.
Hello to my varsity. You can blame Linnell for that.
Hey, hello to my varsity friend, Chris Russell, and my JV friend, Linus Lowell Linoleum Winingham Sr., that's descending into Pop Warner with all of his waffling. But that's okay. We still love you, okay? You know, I'm working on expanding my brand, too, with my 28 followers I have on X. I am the Greek Tony Montana with followers like Dr. Sabah, so you better watch out talking smack about me. Or no more Angel Reese calendars for you, young man.
Wow. So. All right. Now, at risk of, going too long here, I mean, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but, you know, just hit me with a couple of good things, Commanders-wise.
I'll wrap it up, okay, real quick from earlier. I think the biggest thing that AP did well is he stuck to his plan. He didn't pursue players or coaches that didn't want to be here. So when Ben Johnson gave him the middle finger when they were in the air, he moved on and they stuck to the plan. So great for AP on that. The previous caller stole my thunder with the line of scrimmage. I think that's what we have to do. But I think your Quan Martins of the world, your Dante Fowlers, your Dorrance Armstrongs, all these other people, they have to have the game of their lives on Saturday night. They have to outperform. They have to find a way to make plays because I think Detroit's offensive line is incredible. And I think their defense sucks, and we'll be able to exploit that. But we have to have guys, even like your Derek Forrest, you know, Linnell's favorite player on the team. You know, those guys have to show up. Rather than getting burned, they have to find a way to make a play. So that's where I'm at. You have to have guys who haven't really made plays all year have to find a way to make plays to get us in there.
Evan, you forgot about Dominique Hampton.
Oh, yeah. He's absolutely been on, inactive all year?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's really good, though.
I appreciate you. Oh, just teasing. I don't know why I remember Dominique Hampton at the last second. I just remember one time, I don't know, we were looking for something to talk about in May or June, and we were talking about Bobby Wagner and pass coverage, and you were like, the answer to everything, the answer to all their problems is going to be Dominique Hampton.
He was their first team dime linebacker in spring.
It just made me laugh. I don't know why. Anyway, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Jason and Laurel. Hello, Jason. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Love the show.
Thank you, Jason. Awesome. Appreciate you, as always.
I listened to you and Denton the other day over the Gamecast. That was awesome. I'll definitely be turning it in.
Come join us, Jason. We're out live on location this week, buddy. I don't know if Chris told the listening audience, and it's one of his trending alerts.
Well, it's too late for me to be out and about. Yeah.
Yeah, it's too late for me to be out and about, but I'll definitely be listening to you over the TV broadcast. So it's kind of been said, I think Linnell's thing about possession, that's so important. I'll expand it a little bit further. Not only need possession and scoring, obviously, they need to provide pressure. I love when we defer, get the ball in the second half. This week, I think we ought to go offense first, quiet that stadium down, 12, 13-minute drive. You got to put points on the board. More importantly, what we need is every time the Lions offense takes the field, and the Lions offense is the best unit on the field, we need them to be behind or tied, not ahead. They have not played many games like that this year. And if we can continue that, we can score first, we can possess the ball, limit the possessions, put pressure. I believe Dan Campbell will make a mistake. I believe this team will stumble. You know, they have not really had to play with pressure. One of the things Jaden brings I think, better than anybody else in the league right now, is he provides pressure. We've seen head coaches stumble with timeouts and stuff, and then after the game, like, that guy's stone cold. He's an assassin. It's because he provides pressure. We need that defense, the Detroit defense that's all beat up, that when they come off the field and they're looking at Dan Quinn, Dan Campbell in the eyes, they're like, I'm sorry, we couldn't do anything. We need to put pressure and have them doubt whether they can do it, and that's how we win. And again, guys, love the show. Hey, Noel, do me a small favor. Uh-huh. Stop with the plant thing. I hate that. But seriously, love you both.
I hate it, too. I thank you, what Jason. The industry thing? Plant thing. I'm not an industry plant.
Sorry, Jason.
I'm not an industry plant. I've been living here for how long now? 15 years? Something like that? No, 17 years. I'm a native Washingtonian. I'm an adopted son of Washington. You know? Remember, sons of Washington.
No.
I'm a son of Washington.
No.
Let's go to Floyd.
You're a resident of Virginia.
Let's go to Floyd in Pennsylvania listening on the Odyssey app. Floyd, thanks for hanging in there. How are you?
Floyd.
All right. How about you guys?
Good.
I'm good.
Just fine and dandy. I'm ready to London Fletcher somebody in the booth the other night when he threw about 18 hooks.
Yeah, but listen, I think the one thing that they're going to have to do is they're going to have to run left and they're going to have to roll left in passing downs, because Detroit's going to overload and they're going to try to take Jaden not being able to roll right. Mm. So early in this game, I would pound the ball left and help Coleman and Algredi, because they haven't been very good in pass blocking. So maybe if we can pound the rock left and get the defensive ends and defensive tackles on their heels, it would take some of the pressure off those guys when they really want to pass, period.
You know, that's an interesting idea. Here's why I'm uncomfortable with it. A, because of some of what you mentioned, Coleman, Algredi. I mean, you can bulk up with tight ends and play two tight ends and whatever. But that's, I mean, if you're having Jaden go to his left, that's his unnatural throwing side. So he'd have to be able to flip his body, flip his hips to get into throwing motion while on the run, which is not impossible. Obviously, he does it all the time, but he usually, to your point, does it to the right as opposed to the left. It would be like, you know, there is this notion out there that they should
overload the right.
I understand that. I get what you're saying. Yeah, but I guess what I'm asking you is, if you're going to ask him to do that, maybe say more than once, is that fair? Is that putting yourself in the right position? It would be kind of similar to me, like if you said, hey, man, the way to get the run game going, and there are people that believe in this, is to line Jaden under center. That's why the run game is not working, because he's not under center. Well, you haven't done that a lot this year, really hardly at all. Do you start doing that in a playoff game to hope that triggers the run game? I don't know if I believe that.
Detroit's not going to let him roll right all day. They're not going to. You have to run waggles and RPOs left. And if you get the running game running left, it's going to take some of the pressure off.
I hear what he's saying.
I hear what you're saying.
But it's tough because...
I mean, you can't just roll right all day.
That's fair.
I mean,
I'm surprised
some of these defenses. I heard Belichick even say he rolls right all the time. I mean, I'm surprised they haven't done it to him yet this season.
Appreciate the phone call, Floyd. Thank you.
It's easier said than done, though. That's why the influence of the read option really has allowed him to get outside of the pocket a lot easier, because that play side end is froze.
Mm-hmm.
He can't commit one way or another, mm-hmm, because of Jaden's ability to get outside. So he's going to continue to be able to get right, because they're going to keep running read option to the right. And if you're playing defensive end, you can't get caught in this guessing game of, oh, it's read option or it's play action, because you're going to be stuck with your hands in your pants.
Where I think this, what Floyd was kind of suggesting, and maybe I'm wrong on this, would work better is, with Jaden being a right-handed, mobile, obviously, quarterback, is if he was lining up under center more. And if you are running, and I expect to see a lot of this from Jared Goff, play action bootleg, like under center, play action boot. If you say boot him to his left, right, which is his not natural throwing side, I could see that more. But to me, just to move the pocket either on a sprint direct or on an RPO and just to say, well, they're going to be expecting him to go to his right, so you go to his left. Yes, you might be able to do that once or twice, but I don't know if you're going to be able to build a game plan, if you will, a consistent game plan doing it that way, right?
I'll just be real. I've never been less concerned about an offense going into a game.
Yeah, I am more concerned than you are. I don't know. I mean, I am. But I can expand upon that maybe the rest of today or certainly tomorrow on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. There comes a point in every commercial break where I put my headsets on and he just keeps yelling at me.
Because I'm amazed at what you're doing, but what, I get
what,
it,
what
though.
Am I doing?
It's not that you're doing it. I'm not going to phrase it like that.
You and Coach Sheehan act like this is the most explosive offense in the world, and they can do anything and snap their finger and just show up and put their on
Chris,
the table.
This is
and
a group that is you kept saying, well, they got to score more than 20
points.
Yeah,
they do. Against the Detroit Lions,
Chris, they haven't had a problem scoring more than 23 points all year.
They haven't played.
They haven't what, Chris? Can you stop so I can give the number that I just gave
you?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Four times this year.
Right. Against
who? Scored 23 or less.
Right, give me the opponents.
Tampa, Baltimore, Chicago, Philadelphia, and then the New Orleans.
Philadelphia in the Thursday night game.
So it's five times. I'm sorry.
And then Philadelphia in the Thursday night game.
Yeah, so it's five times.
Right. So I guess what I'm...
They're averaging 28 points per game on the year. I don't think scoring is their problem.
It's not... overall their problem. But what I where we were having a discussion, which turned into an argument, surprise, is you and Coach Sheehan specifically, and there are others, operate like this offense can just snap its fingers, show up and do whatever it wants, whenever it wants, however it wants. And I don't believe it works that way, and I don't believe it has worked that way even during the 6-game winning streak. I mean, at times it has, but even in a game where they scored 36 points, they turned the ball over 6 times.
You're pointing out one game, though, Chris.
No, I know, but you look at season averages. I'm telling you, yes, Detroit is susceptible. Yes, they're missing Aiden Hutchinson. Yes, they're missing Aleem McNeil. Yes, teams have been able to move the football against. I don't know if they've seen two safeties better than Kirby Joseph or two defensive.
They played Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons, Chris. Give me a break.
So they're automatically better than Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch?
I don't know. As good of a tandem as there is in football. They went up against Minka and Deshaun Elliott.
I mean,
Atlanta's
defense stunk.
They went up against Minka and Deshaun Elliott. That's a damn good
safety. Yeah, all right, fine. So, I mean, maybe they're in the same ballpark.
They went up against Marcus Williams and
saying,
I mean, come on, man.
I'm just saying, you're operating like this team is going to show up. And you said to me, well, it doesn't matter how much they score. They just need to outscore the opponent. My point is the opponent's probably not going to score 20 points in this game or 21 points
but
in this
Chris,
game.
Chris, what you're like, this is why I think that the way that they're playing is like something that's sustainable. Their offense is a part of their defense. Do you not get that? When they possess the ball as long as they do, Jared Goff and company are sitting on the sidelines for extended periods of time, it's natural, right, as an offensive player, when you've been sitting down for a while and your defense is giving up touchdowns, right?
Sure.
That's when pressing starts to happen.
Okay.
That's when you start chasing points.
Uh-huh.
Like, to me, like, that's what it's all about. If you ask me heading into this game or if you ask me all season long why Washington couldn't beat Detroit, you'd say it's because the defense could not sustain strong level of play for 60 minutes. They don't have to. Their job is lessened because of how good of a job the offense is doing possessing the football. It's not about their offense being the greatest show on turf. They are the most efficient group in the National Football League, damn near, though.
All right. So
staying on schedule.
So
moving the ball forward.
So let's take a look at this, right? Am I seeing this right?
Probably not.
We know what they did against Tampa, against Dallas, granted. 22:57 time of possession against Atlanta, 41:32, but some of that is bolstered by an 8-minute overtime drive.
an 8-minute overtime drive, and they had a 15-minute drive. They had a 14-minute and 20-second drive in the first quarter or the third quarter. Chris.
I got it.
To start the
second
half.
I'm just saying, you're acting like they always do this.
No, I'm not.
23-42 against Philadelphia, which again was turnover related, but they still scored 36 points
because
against New Orleans, they held onto the ball for more than 40 minutes. Against Tennessee, 40 minutes and 13 seconds. Against Dallas, the game they lost, 24-48. Against Philadelphia on the Thursday night, 26-56. Against Pittsburgh, 23-14. 23-49. Against the Giants, a game that they won on the road, 28 minutes. It's not like they hold on to the ball every game.
So can I tell you where the time of possession is increased? Like what has been in, like what's happened as a result of that?
Please do.
Not what's happened as a result, but like why I feel like they've kind of resorted to that. They've shown you there are two different ways they can win. They've won two different ways all year, generating explosives. And if they're not generating explosives, what are they doing?
They're grinding games.
They're grinding the clock out dominating time of possession.
Managing the clock.
That is their formula. I think since the traditional running game is kind of like gone out of the window, I feel like that in turn, the ball control has increased with that. I don't know if it has anything to do with each other, but in the games that they've won down the stretch, they haven't been able to run the ball, but they've dominated time of possession.
But they haven't dominated time of possession. I just gave you a bunch of games where they didn't dominate time of possession.
Atlanta?
Is my point. During this, Atlanta was one game that they
didn't. Atlanta, Tampa,
in the second
Tennessee,
half and in overtime.
New Orleans.
They held the ball for, you weren't listening. I just gave you all the numbers.
New Orleans held the ball for 40 minutes.
What? Yeah, one game.
Tennessee.
Okay. What did they do against
during this five-game winning streak, Chris.
Right, but
they've dominated time
of
possession in three out of the five games.
Let me pull it back up here again.
You said New Orleans, Tennessee.
I just had it.
Atlanta.
Dallas, obviously, 22-57. Atlanta, again, 41-32, dominant in the second half, and an 8-minute drive in overtime. Philadelphia, now, again, they scored 36 points, 23-42. New Orleans, a team that had, not a whole lot, 40 minutes and 50 seconds. Tennessee, 40-13.
During this winning streak, three out of the five games,
they have been really good.
Time of possession.
Right, okay. Well, and actually, if you say the six-game winning streak, including the four out of six. But again, while the numbers are in their favor, my point is that doesn't happen every game.
It's not about every game. They've changed stylistically how they've played throughout the year. You've seen that.
Yes, but what I'm saying is
this is who they are right now.
I think they're going to need more is my point.
I think
they're going to somehow have to figure out a way to dominate time of possession
or
control time of possession, but get more points out of that. And that's my point. Like, somehow, some way, the rubber's got to kind of meet the road here. You can't expect to win a playoff game on the road in Detroit scoring 23 points. Got to do more than that.
If you get a great effort from your defense, you will.
301-230-0980. More of your calls coming up. We will try and get to you on the other side right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the Commanders wrapping up the practice day. We don't have the official injury report. Bobby Wagner, by the way, missed practice yesterday. That's important because Jordan McGee is also missing practice and is expected to miss the game per Dan Quinn on Saturday night. For whatever it's worth, he was in the starting lineup based on package Sunday night in Tampa. Speaking of Saturday night, they're in Detroit, Ford Field. Kickoff just after 8 o'clock. We will have extensive pregame coverage. Of course, Linnell and Denton Day, as they have all year long, burgundy and gold. Pregame, in-game live, DOC, Toby on the way after the game, win or lose, and hopefully it is not a season wrap, and hopefully the Commanders are advancing to the NFC Championship. Meanwhile, Quinn Ewers has declared for the 2025 NFL Draft, the Texas quarterback, obviously in the playoffs. Micah Parsons, among other things, calling Mike McCarthy's Cowboys exit, quote-unquote, devastating. Now, speaking of McCarthy, he had an in-person interview today with the Chicago Bears. It's only their second in-person interview. Their first was over the weekend with Ron Rivera. How about that? The Capitals, 3-0 winners last night, off to Ottawa for tomorrow night. And they take on the Senators, Jacob Chychrun's return to Ottawa after the offseason trade. And that's what's trending. Along with the Mountain Trail Mix man,
Mountain
Trail. Linnell Willingham. That is some good stuff. I like good trail mix.
You know, it's better than eating a pie.
That is true.
Or
that
an
is true.
Uncrustable. Or Snickers.
I don't, I'm not into the Uncrustables like everyone else is around here. I don't know if I've ever had. Maybe I've had one Uncrustable in my life.
Hot fries.
Hot fries. Are you dreaming of having?
Funyuns.
Ew.
Doritos.
You like Funyuns?
Oh, Fritos.
Fritos are really good. Really good. Not good for you, but really good. All right, let's get back to a couple of calls here. Let's try and squeeze in as many as we can. Let's get to Chris in Maryland. What's up, Chris? How are you? Yeah. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Chris.
I'm good, man. When y'all was talking about the Falcons, it was perfect time to chime in, man.
I know you, brother. Disappointing end of the year, man.
Let's see if I can make a few points. Listen, when y'all was talking about Commander's been controlling the clock and they've been doing better, but you got to look about who you was doing it against, like the Saints when they had a backup quarterback, the Falcons. You had that long drive the third quarter because it was a 3rd and 22 and it was illegal contact by a linebacker, so that helped you out in the drive. But
and overtime,
like,
and
yeah, and overtime. But hey, but I'm gonna tell you what you got going good for you. And hey, listen, I'm rooting for y'all on the low, man, because I like when everybody's nice in the area, man, opening doors for you and everything, man. Like, this is something I'm not used to. But listen, y'all got what you got going good for you guys is the read option with Jalen Daniels. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Listen, that's helping you control and extending plays. Listen, when you gotta load the box up, you don't know if the running back coming in, getting the ball, or the quarterback keeping it, and your defenders can't rush up the field, and you got a chance to double team and get to the, you know, get 4 or 5 yards of carry. That's beneficial. Like, if it's not broke, don't change it, man. And one thing I do see that Detroit give up a lot is if you had a running back that can catch the ball out of the backfield. Buffalo eat them up with Ty Johnson with that.
That's a good point.
A few other teams.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the Commanders obviously do with Eckler. And a little sprinkle of Brian Robinson, which is why, you know, like, listen, Brian Robinson's frustrating, but he is capable of catching, you know, some checkdowns and some screens, more, you know, kind of like just, ooh, look at me, nobody's paying attention to me kind of stuff. But he is capable of doing that. What do you have, 4 catches the other night? I think it was 3-4 catches,
yeah.
Whatever it was. Yeah, so.
Hey, one last point, though, If you go look at all the games that Detroit had really close, all them teams have one thing in common. They get up and press Detroit wide receivers. If you go look at those last few games, none of the running backs got loose. Jahmyr Gibbs was held in check. If you go look at all them three-point games with Green Bay, one of your callers alluded to it, you got to win the defensive line and the offensive line. You got to be dominant. And but what you guys got is an X factor because you got a quarterback that can move. Stroud can move like that. Jordan Love can't move like Jaden Daniels. That's the X factor, and that's why I think Commanders are going to win this game because they're sleeping on him, man. That's the X factor. Jaden Daniels, I'm sorry to say it, he's the X factor because of his wheels.
Don't be
sorry. Listen, he should be, and he could be, and he probably is. Appreciate you, Chris. As always, good call. I would say this. This is going to frustrate you, and I know it is.
Oh, God.
You know, again, you do what you have to do to win, but please, can we figure out a way? Can we figure out a way to not put everything on Jaden as a runner? And can we figure out a way to run less by design? Because you know the necessity is going to be there. Run less by design.
Why though?
Meaning more of an emphasis on him getting rid of the football. Why? Because he takes shots. He does. He took the shot on the sideline the other night, which some people thought was a penalty. Some people didn't. They obviously didn't call it. Took a shot.
But like outside of, like, it's football, Chris.
I know.
He got up. It's no big deal. You're in the postseason, man. You got to do what you got to do to secure the win.
What if he doesn't get up?
Get up.
Oh, okay.
It's a part of football.
I know, but...
The design runs are a part of the reason, like, they've been able to stay
on schedule.
They
are part of the reason why they've been successful.
Like, the quarterback draw that Cliff, the way that, and I've been impressed by him getting the same play in multiple different ways. They motion Eckler all the way across the formation from the backfield, and you literally watch the linebackers and the D-line step over a gap, and they run draw to the opposite side. Like, he's a special dynamic runner. You can't take that away from him.
I don't want to take
it. I couldn't imagine you doing sports talk radio in Baltimore.
I just
good
want,
God almighty. Yeah, what would
I
you do
want,
then?
I just want more. You know what? You know what it is for me? I see how good he is as a passer.
Yeah, but
I understand some of that is the success based on the fear of God that he's going to escape, run, and RPO and all that. Got it all. But I see how good he is as a passer, and I just want that to be the primary function
maybe
of the offense.
Maybe next year.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe next year. Maybe. Just not, they don't have the support around him to support a functional drop back pass.
Sorry, my bad. I didn't mean to go there. Telly in D.C. has been waiting on for a long time. What's up, Telly? How are you?
Hail to the Redskins. Chris Tell. Hustle. Big Al. What's poppin'?
What up, Telly?
What's up, Tell?
Hey, man. Hey, Chris. Hey, you in my camp. Like I've been saying, man. I'm loving what the squad's doing, but yes, it's here and now, man. We ain't worried about next season. We talking about now. So make the adjustments now. When we was growing our teams, we was running the ball, and we had success. And then B-Rob gets hurt, and you mentioned that, oh, well, they can't run it. Maybe they got to change it because B-Rob is hurt, whatever. That don't stop what you've been doing. And all I'm saying is you can add on to the dynamic of JD5 if you implement that running game. Now, we're saying the same thing, but we have two different philosophies. I'm just saying that you switch it up. You can do your shotgun thing, but at times, line your man on the center and go to B-Rob's strength and let him run downhill. And you can still have time of possession and still be scoring because that opens up the play action and the bootlegs and all of that, and you can still do your thing. Just look what Buemore is doing with their quarterback and the progression of what his rookie year, they was doing the same. He was running all over the place.
Gotcha.
He was doing the same thing.
I got you, Telly. I appreciate you. That was who had mentioned it a couple of times on the air. And I know there are people on Twitter that have. The difference is Lamar Jackson, A, has Derrick Henry, and B, has been in the league for 7 years. Like, there's an evolution to this. I would fully expect 5 years from now, Jaden Daniels is going to be under center more, is going to run less. I mean, he's already a really good passer from the pocket. And yes, some of that is aided by RPO and deception and the threat of the run and so on and so forth.
That's what it is.
But I would expect it to evolve. But I guess what I'm saying is I wouldn't think if you came out Saturday night and put Jaden Daniels under center 10, 12 times to try and see if that untracks Brian Robinson, maybe it does. But I don't think that's going
to
work.
You don't got time to be wasting it down either.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is I don't think that's going to work because if I'm Detroit, whoa, wait a second. He's under center. You know that they're not probably going to run play action boot. They're probably going to do a stretch handoff, no?
I don't know. They haven't done it enough to have any tendency to.
But that's the point is they haven't really done it. So, like, in lieu of that, because you don't have the tape for the tendency, in lieu of that, you would probably, one of your keys or the light bulb in my eyes would go off and say, boom, they're going to run. They're going to try a traditional stretch run, what have you. All right, we got to take a timeout. Sorry to everybody we didn't get to. More tomorrow. Coming up, dum-dum of the day. We wrap it up before turning it over to Craig Hoffman. That's next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
There's a lot of crazy people in the world. Some might accuse me of being crazy. I disagree. I'm just strong-minded. How about that? But this guy, he might be a little crazy.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Imagine having the prestigious position of an Italian soccer club's falconer. I didn't even know what a falconer was, but apparently a falconer is somebody who takes care of a falcon. Not an Atlanta falcon, but an actual real-life falcon.
Well, sure.
Yeah, sure. In Rome, Italian soccer club Lazio has fired a man who, again, handled their falcon, their team mascot, eagle mascot. Why? Because he posted photos and videos online of his own pee-pee.
You're lying.
No, and it was a prosthetic one as well. Yes, Team Falconer Juan Bernabe, I don't know, shared images on his private social media account, after undergoing surgery for the implant, which he said was for not medical reasons. And then he gave an interview to a radio show in Italy, and he elaborated on the reasons for undergoing the procedure. He said he felt very proud, more masculine, what have you. And then the team fired him.
This shit is real.
So here's the deal. Listen, you do whatever you want to do in your own personal life, right? Nobody's saying that everybody's perfect and nobody does anything weird or wrong or different or whatever or unconventional.
Said it already sold.
Here's what you shouldn't do. Take pictures of your pee-pee and show them online and expect to keep your job. Especially when you're somewhat of a public figure, right? I mean, soccer's a little more important over there than it is here. But, you know, if you're a falconer, if you're a coach, if you're a player, you probably shouldn't be expecting to keep your job. So, Mr. Bernabe, enjoy your prosthetic penis.
Congratulations, you're Chris's Dumb Dumb of the Day.
You didn't like that one, did you?
I'm always moist, baby.
I mean, I don't make this stuff up. Maddie found it on the Associated Press, so you know it's real.
I never said it. I haven't said a word.
I know, I'm just saying. You're shaking your head, so I'm just saying. I don't make these things up. We're just here to expose.
You shake my leg or
no,
or shake my head? Or
we're just we're just here to expose the idiocy that in the world that we live in, you know, just one segment at a time. All right. Mercifully, this last 3 hour odyssey is over. We will see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Greg Hoff.
So much rage for the gym.
Really?
I may lift the entire building up.
Attaboy. I'm going to Command Land to pick up my credential for the game that I'll never make because I'll get snowed into O'Hare on Saturday afternoon. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Craig's next. Thanks to Matty Ice. Thanks to everybody who called and listened and dealt with this at times. Have a great Wednesday.